Oh my gosh, like everybody knows he's a beautiful songwriter, but he's an excellent guitar player. And he's so handsome. Oh my gosh. Okay, so we're talking about defying gravity. It's kind of a continuation of last time's talk. Was that last week? Man, time flies. Feels like a lot more. Anyhow, so I was thinking, you know, there's so many ways we can flip the switch, like we were talking about. And I just found out, by popular demand, you know how Amazon has Alexa? Do any of you guys have Alexa?
Nope.
Yeah, so Marcia has Alexa. I have Alexa. I count on Alexa a lot. It's just this little device, and you just say, Alexa, what time is it? Or Alexa, who sang this song? Or Alexa, how old is Hugh Jackman? Whatever. She knows all the answers. She'll get it done for you. And you can connect it to different appliances, like Alexa, turn on the light, you know, that kind of thing. So anyhow, it's a woman, Alexa. So I guess Amazon decided they got enough requests that they want a male version. So now they have Alex. So now there's Alexa and Alex. Okay, here's the difference. With Alex, you have to ask it to do something 10 times before it does it. And then you have to wait 3 weeks for it to actually get done. Okay, guys.
You came in for that.
And I told that to my husband, and he's like, 3 weeks? That's not bad at all. That's not bad. Yeah, okay. So anyhow, we're looking at things from a different angle, a different perspective. And I had mentioned last time that I wanted to talk about Stoicism. Stoicism is really amazing. Stoicism comes from the term painted porch. And the painted porch is this open market that was in Athens, Greece, where people used to come and gather, and they'd talk about philosophy, and they'd have different speakers come. And this was, I guess, in the day, the Instagram of Athens, Greece, right? You come and you gather and you share your philosophies and debates and things like that. So it's a great forum. And out of that came Stoicism, which then traveled to Rome, where Marcus Aurelius got a hold of it, and he made it a whole thing. And it's been influenced by Christianity and philosophers like Descartes and Moore and Spinoza. And recently, in modern day, it's been revived in the psychological community as cognitive behavioral therapy. Have you guys heard of that? Yeah, there's a lot of cognitive behavioral therapists out there. And basically, under the science of psychology, what they're really teaching is Stoicism. So I like that, because this is a nice tie with, you know, bringing spirituality into our daily lives, because the problem with most conditions, especially mental health conditions, is all tied to we don't know who we are, right? So if this helps us get closer to that, all for it, all for it. So a couple of the things Marcus Aurelius said that helps us understand what the philosophy is all about, which is a lot like science of mind, it's a lot like Vedanta. He said, give yourself a gift, the present moment. And he also said, this is a big one too. Our anger and annoyance are more detrimental to us than the things themselves which anger or annoy us. Big lesson, right? Big lesson. And the core principle of Stoicism is virtue. It asserts that the practice of virtue is both necessary and sufficient to achieve happiness and well-being. So that's interesting. So how do we do that? How do we put it into practice? Well, there's these eight principles that I'll go through one by one. I'm going to kind of go fast because there's a lot of meat in all of them. I mean, each one could be like a whole talk, but we just want to get an overview. So the first principle is the principle of nature. Nature, Stoicism says, is rational. So what does that mean? It means that nature is predictable. It's a scientific form. We know how flowers grow with the seeds. We know how the seasons change. We know how the planets rotate and how the moon changes, waxes and wanes by how that we're looking at the moon. But the moon, even though it looks like a sliver, is not a sliver. It's a whole planet, right? But we know all these scientific principles. It's saying that nature is rational. And, you know, we are nature. So let me explain a little bit about how this showed up in the movie Wicked, which is my new favorite movie. And here we go again, right? Did anybody see this yet? Oh, yay, Lisa saw it. Did you love it? Oh, see? I told you so. It's great. It's great. Oh my gosh. Like, it's been a week, you guys. You've got to go see this movie. Okay. Yeah, it's a movie. It was a Broadway. First, it was a book. Then it was a Broadway show. And then they took the Broadway show and made it into a movie. Okay. So there's these two witches, Glinda the Good Witch and Elphaba the Wicked Witch. Okay. There is so many layers to these characters. And I saw an interview with the two actresses. They've been doing the PR circuit like crazy. But these two actresses, Ariana Grande plays Glinda the Good Witch, and Cynthia Erivo plays Elphaba the Wicked Witch. So Cynthia Erivo, brilliant mind. You'd think she was a philosopher. They were asking her how she came up with her character and how she kind of found who this woman is. And she said that Elphaba reminds her of Earth. The element of Earth. She's very grounded. She's very heavy. Her feet are on the ground. When you see her in costume, she's wearing these big, black, heavy boots. She's dressed all in black. Her posture is she's like hunched over and always, you know, not looking up. And she's like this dark, heavy presence. And she says her character arc is that as the movie goes on, she starts becoming lighter. She starts finding her more of her air energy that comes into her. And the big change at the end is that she progresses so much, she transforms so much, she becomes so secure in who she is and what she knows is right and is not going to take it anymore from other people who are doing the wrong thing and ridiculing her and trying to put her down, right? Down. That she actually defies gravity and she flies. So that's one of the songs at the end of this first movie, which is like act one. We've got to wait for the next movie in 2025. And it's like, I can't wait. What's going to happen? But yeah, so she flies. So she defies gravity and flies. So contrast that with Glinda, the good witch, who walks in on like sky high heels, right? In this fluffy light, pink chiffon type of, with a crown on her head, and she's very airy. She's very, very airy. And she looks down on Elphaba and everybody else. She thinks she's like all that. Like if you ever saw Mean Girls, Regina George, this Glinda is like Regina George. She's just like, yes, I'm all that, you know, that kind of thing. So her arc is that through her friendship with Elphaba, she becomes more human. She becomes more down to earth and more heartfelt and more understanding, more compassionate. So it's a really interesting juxtaposition, how you see these two characters play out and how they bring out the best in each other. Another side note is that, I don't think I told you this last time, but when Ariana Grande was a little girl, before she was getting famous, but she wasn't like she is now. She went and saw the play Wicked. And she went backstage and met Kristen Chenoweth, who was playing Glinda at the time in the original Broadway show. And of course, Kristen Chenoweth is very gracious, and she was an amazing Glinda. And she was so happy to see a little kid like this, you know, maybe 12 years old or something, give her so much praise and enjoy the experience so much that they had this long conversation. And Ariana Grande said to Kristen Chenoweth, "When I grow up, I want to play Glinda." And look at her now. She manifested that into her life. I mean, the timing and everything, it fits her voice, it fits her age, it fits her presence. She said she's been planning for this her whole life. She had all the songs memorized way before the audition ever came up. She's like, oh yeah, I'm so ready. And she got the part. And they auditioned lots and lots of people. This is like the biggest thing in Hollywood right now. Okay, so that was the law of nature. The second thing is the law of reason. What does this mean? Interesting that they term it in the law of, right? Because the science and mind is all about love and law. Am I correct? And law is truth. Law is truth. That's how it works. And it says, the universe is governed by the law of reason. Humans can't actually escape its force, but they can uniquely follow the law deliberately. This is just like Pamela was saying, that there's mind out there, or we could call it Brahman, we could call it universe, whatever. We can't control it, but we can sure hop on and go with the flow and enjoy the ride, kind of guiding where we want to go for ourselves. That's the law of reason. We can reason it out with our minds. We can be reasonable, right? Also, think of the word reason. There's a reason for everything. That's just like the word purpose. There's a purpose for everything. And our purpose, our dharma, is why we were put here on this earth. So this is also another scientific principle. Okay. The next one is virtue. The principle of virtue. And this is the biggest one. It has the most to it in Stoicism. And they mean a life led according to rational nature is virtuous. Now see how they did it so beautifully? They put nature in there, and then they put reason, which is, you know, like rationality. And now they're tying it together, saying when you lead your life by reasonableness and following the principles of nature, being true to yourself, then you're being virtuous. So basically, how I take this is do your best. Be a good person. Put your best foot forward. You need to take action when you need to take action. You can't just like loaf around. If you see something that needs to be done, do it. If you see someone that needs to be helped, help them. You know, whatever it is. Make an effort. This is part of our human nature, is to serve. and not ask, you know, so something's going on in there, on and somebody asks for your help, not thinking to yourself, oh, well, what's in it for me? But thinking, how can I help? How can I help? Everything else takes care of itself. You don't do it for selfish reasons, you do it for selfless reasons. And above all else, like the Hippocratic Oath says, first do no harm. Don't hurt anybody. If you find out you've hurt someone or you know you're hurting someone, stop it. I just saw this meme. I shared it on Instagram. Remember Bob Newhart when in the Newhart show? He said he's the psychiatrist, so he's sitting behind the desk and he's talking to the patient, and she just went on and on and on. So, and he says to her, okay, I've got some advice for you. Very important advice. I need you to take note of this. I need you to practice it. I need you to take it out of this office and take it to heart and make it happen. Oh, she says, okay, should I write it down? It's two words. I think you can remember it. Okay. And she's listening. And he says, stop it. Just stop it. Just stop it. Stop it. I think there's a, also, I think for our generation, we heard this from our parents a lot, you know, and I think we did it to our kids too. They're messing around. Stop it. You just say, stop it. But there's a whole thing with the newer parenting generation where it's like you have to have the emotional, gentle parenting where instead of saying stop it, you say, how are you feeling? And how can we change that? And you know, do you need your space? And do you, you know, please. Okay. There's something to it and I get it. I get it. But let's not go overboard on, you know, let's teach manners and politeness and let's teach self-awareness so that, you know, when you're in a grocery store, there are people around you. You have to be concerned about all the other people, not just yourself. That's not the place to have a temper tantrum. That's all I'm saying, okay? Thinking back to when Freddie had a temper tantrum in the grocery store and I just picked him up and left all the groceries in the basket and everything, right? I didn't try to calm him down. So anyhow, the next principle is the principle of wisdom. Wisdom is the root virtue of all the virtues. Wisdom is the most important, and it spring and from wisdom comes these other virtues such as insight, bravery, self-control, and justice. So Stoicism is telling us seek wisdom, always be learning, follow the examples of others. You know, look for teachers, look for people who are examples for us. Do follow their examples. Be accountable. Own up to your mistakes. Learn from your mistakes. And what happens when you do this? This leads to courage, confidence, and equanimity, the sense of well-being that you can't shake. You know, this is brilliant. And this is what Stoicism has said for, I don't know, 1,000 years or something, 2,000 years. How, I mean, a long time, 3,000 years. I don't know. And it's nothing new. It applies today. I'm not just making it up. And pretty much every spiritual tradition says things along this line. But we need to hear it from various different sources because we all speak different languages. We all have different receptors, how we're going to receive this. So there we go. And so the second part of wisdom is it says there's no fairness. There's no fairness. We don't get the same we don't get the same, but we do get what we need. And the example of this is, you know, a little girl in a classroom, she has to wear glasses because she can't see the board from far away. So she wears glasses. But other kid says, well, she gets to wear glasses. Why can't I wear glasses? Well, she needs the glasses, okay? She needs them and you don't. But you might need a step stool to reach the coat hanger. You can have a step stool, but she can't because she's tall enough, right? We get the different things that we need. We don't all get the same. And that's just the way it goes. It's like that test Einstein said, some of these, those tests like the SAT or whatever, certain kids learn differently and they don't respond to those tests. It's like asking a fish to climb a tree. The animals who, you know, the squirrels and the monkeys are going to do great at that test, but, you know, the fish and the turtles, what? You know, let's have swimming be the test. That's a different thing. Okay, the next one, the next principle is apatheia. And it says, since passion, it's a Greek word. I didn't write down the definition. I should have, but I don't know what it means. I think it means the opposite of passion. It means the middle path. That's what it means. Apatheia, the middle path. It says passion is irrational. So life should be waged as a battle against it. Okay, this is the Vedantic principle of the coexistence of opposites. And when they talk about opposites, it's extremes. So if you've got the extreme, passion, party, crazy, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then you've got live in a cave, be a hermit, don't talk to people. Well, here we are on the middle path. So we have to balance everything out. We don't want to go too far either way. And then, I got to go faster now. there's so much I want to tell you guys. And I don't want to make a part three. That wouldn't be fair. Okay, the next one is pleasure. Pleasure, according to Stoicism, is neither good nor bad. It's only acceptable if it doesn't interfere with the quest for virtue. This is telling us, put virtue above pleasure. Have fun, but don't go nuts that you hurt someone. Be in moderation. Be on the middle path. Eat one slice of cake, not the whole cake. Save some for other people. Don't do that to your body. You're hurting your body. You know, sleep, but not too little, not too much, just the right amount. It's all about that. Okay, then, evil. This is really interesting. Evil. Poverty, illness, and death are not evil. It's just a part of life. It doesn't make a person bad because you're poor. It doesn't make a person bad because you're sick. It doesn't make a person bad because they're dead. You're not a bad person if you did something bad. It's the behavior that's bad and that you learn from it. Life is all about living what you learned. Getting better and better every day. Life is not to be feared. Don't be afraid of being poor. Don't be afraid of being sick. Just be a good person and everything falls into place. Don't be afraid of being dead either. Just live your life. Live your life the best you can. And then the last one is duty. And this one I love because this comes up in the Bhagavad Gita all the time, right? Do your duty. Karma yoga. It said virtue should be sought not for the sake of pleasure, but for duty. We all have a duty on this earth. Our duty is our dharma. the law of relationship, which I can't say I wrote it, but I channeled it, I guess, is that we're all here to help each other learn and grow. We're all connected, and we're here to help each other learn and grow. That's it. That's what I call the law of relationship. We can do that through service. We can do that through being a good friend. We can do that through three ways. Listen to people. Just listen. Just be there for them. Where did I write this down? Listen to people is number one. Listen to people. Number two, spend time with people. Just spend time with them. Time is the most valuable gift you can give anyone. And the third is respect people. In that way, if you just do those three things, you're showing love to someone. So it's just listen to people, spend time with them, and respect them. That's it. Three things. Okay. So that brings us to a close. And I'm just going to say that, you know, change is good. Defying gravity, we're going to find that beautiful middle ground where we're not flying off in the sky and we're not trapped to the earth. We're just walking lightly on this earth, living together and serving each other in the best way that we all can.